Boldy looking to switch through. Back Boldy to the net. He scores!
Power play opportunity. 13 seconds left in the penalty. He shoots again. He's spotted by Johnson. They score!
The outlet pass for Keller, a defenseman. Nice move. Cuts to the net. Score!
Team is depending a little bit too much now on Jim Craig. He's making too many good saves.
Arruzioni! Mike Arruzioni!
Carter touched the net. Oh, Taves had a wide open goal. Put it through the crease.
The countdown going on right now. Morrow up to Schultz. 5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! Unbelievable.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
United States with numbers. Rock across it comes. Jack Hughes wins it. The golden goal for the United States. For the first time since the 1980 miracle, the United States takes the gold.
And now it's time for Gabe Ramirez on 104.3 The Score.
It is a gold medal Monday. Right here on 104.3 The Score, Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you, kicking things off, and of course, hanging with you till 5 o'clock. That's when Dustin Rhodes takes over at 5 o'clock with the pregame show. And then today, filling in for Money, you got Money. Mully, who is Money more often than not, is Zach Zaidman, who will be in hanging out with David Haw, get you ready. And I'm sure, not only are they going to be talking about the gold medal won by Team USA over Team Canada, but they'll also be talking about the latest addition to the Chicago Cubs. If you're just waking up, John Heyman reporting overnight the Cubs signing former New York Met, former San Francisco Giant, and most recently, former Los Angeles Dodger Michael Conforto, a lefty. You know, didn't have the best season last year, batted 199, but, you know, when you're throwing Matt Shaw in the outfield to protect the corners just in case something happens, you quickly realize that you need a better contingency plan. And Michael Conforto is hopefully going to be that for the Cubs. And not to say that he'll be on the team at the tail end of the season, but out the gate, you want a professional, right? A veteran, someone that who has proven that they're capable. And sometimes, you know, stretches in baseball are common where you might get subpar play from some of your players, position players. And, you know, Michael Conforto is a guy that could step in and maybe give you some good at-bats. You never know. But Zach Zaidman's certainly going to be talking about that with David Haw a little later today. But right now, phone lines are open. Going to be taking some phone calls before we get up out of here. So any thoughts on Team USA hockey, how it impacts the U.S. and hockey in the United States, and just emotions following that victory? I know hockey for some is extremely important, and so that's what we're here for overnight, right? So that we are a sounding board for you to express said feelings. And if you feel so passionate, again, phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. You can weigh in on the Cubs signing as well. Is that something that moves the needle for you? Does it make you feel better as a Cubs fan that, you know, there's depth there at the corners that you're feeling good about? And then lastly, you know, you can always, always call in about your Chicago Bears. Combine starting this week. Bears drafting 25th. Best available is more than likely the direction that the Bears are going to be taking. But what they can do in that draft is figure out, could you imagine if there was a draft for stadium location? With the first pick in the draft, the Chicago Bears select Arlington Heights. Arlington Heights is number one. Number two in the draft of potential locations for the Chicago Bears, coming in at number two, Soldier Field. Oh, look at that. Wow. Golf claps. And sliding all the way down to number three, shocking for some, Hammond, Indiana, coming in. But of course, for those of you that don't know, some news came down the pipe. Just an article from Cranes, just kind of rehashing everything that's been going on, getting people up to date. Some quotes that are interesting. One from J.B. Pritzker acknowledging that, you know, there's a common understanding by most of the Illinois General Assembly that the Bears' new home won't be in the city limits of Chicago. I think they tried. And it's so interesting that the Chicago Park District's put out a statement that they have a plan in place to inject $650 million of funds to renovate Soldier Field, to get it ready when the Bears leave. I think that's interesting. So J.B. Pritz goes on to say they looked and they gave it the old college try, so to speak, to try to find a place within the city of Chicago, and they couldn't. So what does that mean? Well, in Chicago, Bernie Lincecum argued that the more important part of the team name is the Bears rather than Chicago. And those are those that, you know, want to see the team be in the best position possible. And Chicago, I think, is very important for those of us that actually live here, right? And at least you want something that is in the Chicagoland area. I think Arlington Heights is included there. I think the reason why people feel icky in Chicago and the Chicago area about Hammond is because it piggybacks off of Chicago, whereas, you know, Arlington Heights is there. We all know it's there. Hammond feels like you're just the lucky beneficiary of what's happening in our wonderful state. So, again, as you guys remember, the team on Friday reaffirmed that its practice facility and corporate headquarters, House Hall, will remain in Lake Forest, and the Bears have maintained a presence there since 1975. That's not going anywhere. But, you know, a lot of different people have said different things. The Washington Post stated that shelling out the better part of $1 billion to attract a team that won't even be associated with Indiana would be a foolish use of taxpayer money. That's a great line. Indiana leaders would be better off touting that businesses can move there without having to shake down the state government. That was just true. Different position. John Greenberg, one of our favorites from The Athletic, wrote, if the Chicago Bears wind up playing football amid the oil refineries and smelting plants of Northwest Indiana, consider it a fumble lost for the Bears in the state of Illinois. That's how a lot of people feel. This isn't a dome stadium. It's about what surrounds it. The days of surrounding a stadium with the moat of parking lots are over, which is true. So many people want districts. Ask the $10 billion that are being spent around the United Center. And how that, you heard Mark Cuban talking about, he said, I'm in the business of owning a franchise. I'm not in the business of entertainment. And that's why he got out of the Dallas Mavericks. But John Greenberg continued, anyone who thinks this drawn out process is just about a new stadium with a roof is way behind the economic times. And simply put, a mixed use district in Hammond isn't going to work as well as one would in Arlington Heights. And I agree with it wholeheartedly. We talked about it earlier. Yes, Chicago is a blue-collar town. Yes, a large majority of fans are blue-collar employees and workers. Doesn't take away from the fact that there's white-collar people out there that are enjoying this team as well. And they are a large portion of the people that make it out on Sundays to Soldier Field. And when they complain about, you know, how difficult it is to get to and from Soldier Field, they're saying that while they're sitting in their limousines. And there are black cars that are getting dropped off on 18th Street. And so to think that those same people will go out to Hammond, who I can't tell you what percentage of those people have ever even been to Hammond, let alone going out there for the Bears game and then expecting them to stay. You think Pam from Naperville is going to stay in Hammond, Indiana after the game with her two sons, Brett and Brooke? No. They are going to go either downtown to catch a steak on the way back and then, you know, hitch a ride on the 290 out west, or they're just going to go home. Now, granted, it'll be used, but it's a great point by John Greenberg. And again, the stadium saga continues. I got a feeling some big news is going to be coming down this week. So make sure you keep it here to 104.3 The Score, because I know the guys are going to be having all information ready to go and locked up. But it's going to be a pressing issue, and a lot of things are going to be talked about, especially with the combine being this week, right? People are going to be looking at a bunch of names. You're going to be hearing all that in the midst of talking about the stadium, but that's where we're at, that time of the year where we get to do that. And that time of the year where we talk not only about draft picks, not only about the stadium, but also, you know, guys that might get traded, disgruntled players, and you know, one of them is a Max Crosby. So we get to chat a little bit about what the future could look like for the Chicago Bears team. Phone lines are open. 312-644-6767. We got Terrence on the north side checking in. What's up, Terrence?
What's going on, brother? What's going on? First time caller and all of that. How this works, Bill?
Yeah, that's exactly how it works. And then I get to see what you're talking about. So Max Crosby is I see it on the screen now. I'm curious. Are you someone that wants to welcome a Max Crosby despite what it might cost, or are you trying to push back on Max Crosby coming to the Bears?
I'm pushing back on Max Crosby coming to the Bears on the cost, right? If we can get Max Crosby for less than the first round draft pick, I'm all on board for it.
Okay.
If it costs the first round draft pick to get Max Crosby, I'm like we can not do it.
But in what world are you getting Max Crosby for not a first round pick?
Listen, it is the NFL, and leverage is a thing that you only have when people know that your relationship is tenable, right? So, like, if we know that you are trying to move Max Crosby,
right?
Why am I going to offer you what you want for Max Crosby when you don't have any plans on keeping him?
All right, I'm very much, Terrence, I'm very much a solution. Like, we know the problem, but I'm very much a solutions guy. So if the problem is Max Crosby for a first-round pick, what's the solution then, right? If it's not that, then what is it in order to get Max Crosby?
I'm moving off Max Crosby altogether and just going to go get Jalen Phillips.
Who? Oh, Jalen Phillips?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right? Because we already have Sweat. Montez Sweat is already the strong side defensive end, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, if we're looking for a pure pass rush on the other side, Jalen Phillips has shown, at least in his last season in Philadelphia, that he's close to his pre-injury self that he flashed in Miami. And so we got to spend the money anyway, right? So
true.
Like, you want him to go get after the passer. We can address D-tackle through the draft. And now, just very quickly, without costing us the first-round draft pick, we have upgraded our defensive line. And the ability on our defensive line through draft and free agent signing. And, like, you're going to have to overspend somewhere, right?
Right.
And Jalen Phillips is younger than Max Crosby, right? Not as proven, obviously, as Max Crosby, but he is younger.
And someone who had the benefit of playing in a really good defensive line, right? We've seen that before where, you know, guys can put up numbers when they're playing alongside Jalen Carter and obviously other greats on the defensive side for Philadelphia. And then when they get a new contract, they don't necessarily perform the same way.
Which is true, right? But that's the risk you run with anything, right? Like, also the same is you see a guy who has played well and then they've hit the point in the career where like they've also like, all right, I can't sustain the same level of play. And like Max is getting long in the tooth for an NFL player,
true.
Right? He's a young man, but like for an NFL veteran, like he's getting up there, especially at the end.
It's giving Jared Allen a little bit, you know, where the a little bit. I didn't say all the way. A little bit. But let me ask you this, Terrence, right? Because I think a lot of times we as fans, we look at areas of need and obviously we cheerlead for a specific position. But do you feel, after watching the Super Bowl with teams like Seattle and the Patriots and watching the level that their defense was playing at, are the Bears simply just one player away from having that type of elite defense?
I don't think that they're one player away, right? I think there are a couple of players, and a couple of impact players away, right? And so I think that if you can, it falls in two areas, the linebacker play and the defensive line play defensively, right? If you can get one impact player at either D tackle or the opposite edge from Montez Sweat, either or, right? It pushes the defense into another stratosphere and also another impact. I think if they can upgrade the talent at linebacker, not that I think that they are not talented at linebacker,
right?
But I think that there is room to improve on the talent at linebacker, at the inside linebacker spots. And those two things, just those two spots, right, will exponentially improve the product on the field for the defense.
And that's exactly what we want. Terrence, thanks for the call. You want to improve the defense, but it's at what cost? I mentioned Jared Allen. He was 31 when he came to the Bears. A little later in his career, I think we wanted the impact to be there. Max Crosby will be 29 when the next football season begins. So a little bit different. Obviously, Max Crosby's a game wrecker, as Jared Allen once was, but a game wrecker. And it, but it, the question that we're really asking, right, if you take a step back, is do you want someone to go get the quarterback, to hunt the quarterback at 25? Because I'm strictly focusing on the 25th pick in the first round for the Chicago Bears. Do you want the guy that's going to hunt the quarterback or to protect the quarterback? 312-644-6767. That's where I'm at. The combine begins this week. We're going to be looking at a lot of names, looking at guys that could potentially be on your team that are already under contract. I mean, somebody, I think Danny Parkins made the argument for Myles Garrett to be out there, that he might be, you know, this would be the best time to get rid of a guy like that because you can get the most assets in return. And so names are going to be thrown out there. And people are going to be texting in as well, like they are right now. From the 219, says, good morning, Boricua. What up, Bodie? It says, have we discussed left tackle yet? Literally what we're talking about. Who are the top three tackles that are coming out in the draft? I know we need that defensive line and edge, but can we please complete the line first and pick left tackle? It's like a broken record that has been, it's like the number one hit song in Chicago this time of year in February. It's, can we draft another offensive lineman? And here we are. Obviously, Ozzie Tripillo, knee cap displacement, having to deal with that. So you're not going to have him. Braxton Jones is a free agent. You're not necessarily trying to depend on Theo Benedict again at your left tackle spot. So, yeah, it might make sense to go, which would suck, but it might make sense again to go tackle at your top three positions. So the top three, and obviously the majority of these guys might not be on the board. You got Caleb Lomu from Utah, Spencer Fano, and then Francis, man, this is a tough one. Magoa. That's what I'm going to go with. Francis Magoa from Miami. Now, he's going to go early in the draft. People have him going three to the Arizona Cardinals. And, you know, when you're looking at the rest of the Spencer Fano, again, top 10 picks. So it's like what falls down after that into that. And that's why most people say it's going to be best available. But that's why the question is there. Is it someone who's hunting the quarterback, or is it someone that's protecting the quarterback? I lean offensive tackle there. And not only because of Ozzie Tripillo, but even when he comes back, depth at that position is just so important. You saw it for the Chicago Bears in the last game of the season when Joe Tooney had to move over, right? When they didn't have that left tackle slot and they had to shuffle their offensive line in the last game of the season. And it'd be good to have a serviceable swing tackle in that moment that you could at least depend on. That knowing when you put him with that core group in the middle with Jonah Jackson, Joe Tooney, Drew Dahlman, when you put him with those three, that you can still get the job done. And I think that's what most Bears fans would want. So even drafting somebody in the first round, again, you don't know when he might be able to step in or step up. But again, adding depth at that position is important. And I think with the defensive, the Bears have spent so much money on the defensive side of the ball that it's going to be interesting to see when cuts start to happen, you know, how they're going to reallocate those dollars and what that might look like. Maybe it is another second round defensive lineman that's just hoping for the best. Maybe it is that they think Austin Booker might, you know, be healthy going into a season and duplicate his preseason success from last year. But I want to ask you that question. Combine starting this week. Bears got the 25th pick in the first round. In your mind, are you getting someone that is hunting the quarterback, i.e. a defensive lineman, or are you getting someone that's protecting the quarterback, i.e. your left tackle? 312-644-6767. Again, Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you. Got some more time and taking your calls on the other side, right here on 104.3 The Score.
Let's get back to more Gabe Ramirez on 104.3 The Score.
Pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Darnell Wright, offensive tackle, Tennessee.
And the Bears could potentially be drafting another offensive tackle this year when the draft happens. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on 104.3 The Score. Shout out to Grant Leader doing an excellent job producing today. Big kudos to you. And you got to stay on your toes because you never know where we might go. And right now, we're talking a little bit of draft with the Chicago Bears team. I posed the question before the break. You know, Do you think in this upcoming draft, obviously the combine starting this week, the Bears need to be focused on someone that is attacking and hunting the quarterback or someone that is protecting it? So it's more of a simple conversation about offensive or defensive line being the priority. Somebody checked in a second ago and said, you know, why not Trey Hendrickson on defensive line and not give up any draft picks? It's possible. Trey Hendrickson becomes a lot more of a reality if you end up cutting a couple of people and saving some dollars in a certain sense. You know, the caller called in earlier, or excuse me, texted in earlier and asked for, you know, top four or five people that might be available up there. And of course, you know, it's going to be interesting who is, because the Bears more than likely are going to go best available in those situations. And the argument is offensive line or defensive line. I think everyone can agree that the Bears could use upgrades and more bodies at both positions. But, you know, the offensive line for the Chicago Bears, Ben Johnson had them at an elite level. They kept it clean. Caleb Williams, obviously, we know how many sacks he's taken over the course of his career. And it wasn't necessarily the case. And then also think about the early in the season. After the bye week, Ben Johnson made it very clear, which I loved. I think that to me was the moment that I realized Ben Johnson was going to be a great coach for the Bears. I remember Matt Nagy going 5-wide with Mitch Trubisky and him getting just absolutely destroyed, and me thinking, why does he keep doing this? Why is he trying to make this a high-powered offense when that's not what this is built for? And then Ben Johnson comes in, a guy who is known for offensive output, and he could have did the same thing. But he looks at the team and evaluates it, and after week four says, we're going to be a running team. We're going to be manage the clock, you know, dink and dunk down the field, and our best defense is going to be extended drives. And he did that, and that's what the offensive line became. They finished third in rushing yards per game at 144. They allowed the third fewest sacks in the NFL with 24. You know, they're just so many. I mean, when you think about 24 sacks allowed is incredible. 2,400 rushing yards. Pass protection efficiency, 74%. They were first in the league in that. Run blocking, they were fifth in the league. And so, I mean, you know, and you're talking about the guys on the line. Darnell Wright, second team All-Pro. Drew Dahlman, Pro Bowl. Joe Tooney, listed as, you know, winning protector of the year. But there's things there. And the Chicago Bears offensive line story was one that went from survival to controlling the game. And that's happened over the course of some years with Ryan Poles shoring up that offensive line, obviously more so than anything else via free agency and a few trades last year that were important. But it'll be interesting to see how they continue to build on that with Ozzie Tupillo obviously going down and Braxton Jones being a free agent. But the question remains still. When you're thinking about this draft and this season, what do you know you want them to improve on defense, but you know what also is there for you on the offensive line. So which one is more important for you? 312-644-6767. Let's go to Riles. Riles, welcome to in Wrigley. Riles, welcome to the show.
Hey, great, Gabe. Thanks for taking my call. First off, I'd say that you're just doing a fantastic job yourself. I really hope that you keep these slots, because I got to say, I hate the programming, the other Westwood one and whatever crap they put in.
Don't worry. I'm live and local for you. I got you. Don't worry.
Okay, thank you. I kind of agree with your assessment that I would love to have bookend defensive ends. I think that would benefit the Bears immensely. And I also agree with your take that Ben Johnson was the biggest improvement. I did not hate Eberflus as a coach. I really enjoyed him. He wasn't the best coach, but he was a good guy. But Ben Johnson, I never realized that a coach would make that much difference in a team. He was fantastic this year. Yep. The only problem that I have with what he does is he got a little bit too go for it on fourth down happy like his boss in Detroit. So that's the way that I see it. But also another compliment on you, how you have all that data on hand, that you know the draft capital and you see things way better than I do. I think I'm a pretty good fan, but you know what's what about almost like a general manager about how the Bears should be looking at it. So anyway, like I say, I think I would go try to get bookend defensive ends. I don't know how much draft capital or salary it would be costing us, but I would love to have Crosby on the team.
Yeah, I love it. And I think when you're talking about that, I think most fans want that, right? They if you love the Bears, you love defense. Let's be very clear. If you follow the team, that's what you want. So you want them to have that dominant defense. But, you know, we were so happy with how few sacks Caleb Williams was taking last year. And we saw how if you give Caleb Williams some time, Riles, he's going to make you pay. And the best way to do that, especially at such an important position like left tackle, is to get, you know, a high-end, high-caliber body there. So it'll be interesting to see what they do there. Are you a fan of Braxton Jones? You know, he's a free agent right now. Are you a fan of his?
I don't know enough, I'll be honest
okay,
with you,
gotcha.
Where I could say how good he is. But I think just the way that they mixed and matched and they had used, like, swing tackles and they moved the guys around, kind of like the number one protector in the NFL.
Yeah.
They moved him around like they had to do. They have a handle on this. I trust what they're doing. But I think if let me get one more thing
sure.
in that I think the best thing that I think Caleb did this year, it was interesting to watch. We all knew that he had the talent, but his leadership at tackle, they would show him, you know, kind of like moving his hands and stuff like that and really emphasizing what he wanted to do. His leadership was fantastic. And if you go way back, like I do, McMahon was not the best quarterback. He did not have the talent, but he had the trust of everybody on that team. And Caleb is showing the leadership. And I think Ben Johnson has kind of helped mentor Caleb at that. I like the way that the Bears are looking going forward. That's
yeah.
just my opinion.
So do I. Thanks for the call, Roz. I appreciate it. And you bring up some great points, right? Ben Johnson, I think a lot of people were, I don't want to say upset, but they scratched their head a couple times on those fourth down plays where maybe you thought you should have taken some points. But we as Bears fans feel as though points are few and far between, and so we don't like to pass up on them. And I think Ben Johnson, his assumption, and again, he has the best level of arrogance that exists, his assumption is that I'll just get back down here to the red zone and I'll put my team in the predicament or in the position to be back in this place. And sometimes in the NFL, it just doesn't happen like that, right? For whatever reasons, you have extremely talented people on the defensive side of the ball trying to stop you. And so, you know, you should have it as a premium to score some points. But it was his first year as a head coach, so I'm sure he'll reevaluate those situations. And maybe instead of going for it every time, he'll pick and choose a little bit better and have a bit more wherewithal when those things should happen. When you're talking about offensive and defensive line, Riles, I mean, you're there, right? You're there. These are going to be key positions. And that's, I think, best available is going to be the way to go for the Chicago Bears, where you cannot pass up on a blue chip defensive edge or a tackle for that matter if he's available and the fourth or fifth or a B level grade is on an offensive tackle. You got to go blue chip in those moments. And then you mentioned Caleb Williams and his leadership. I think you're absolutely right. I think we all saw it as Bears fans from the very beginning, even as he approached the line, right? Second year in the league, had a bit more command. And then you saw it progress throughout the entire season, where by December, this was a guy who was well-versed and felt extremely comfortable in his role as leader of this team on the offensive side of the ball. And I'll never forget, before we go back out to the phone lines, I'll never forget a quote from Caleb Williams where, you know, teams were asking him, you know, why do your teammates love you? Why? What would your teammates say about you and why they would follow you? And he talked about his leadership and how much he hates losing and how, you know, by putting in the work, right, especially if you're a superstar, that's what people really see. And I think he's done a good job of that, right? Buying into this team, accepting the role of not only leader in the locker room or for the offense, but leader of the team, the face. Like, yeah, it's me. I want you to be proud of the Chicago Bears team. I want you to support us. We're not going to be the same old Bears. people aren't necessarily outwardly saying things like that because there's a fear that it won't necessarily come to fruition. But when you're the quarterback of the Chicago Bears, you have a little bit more say in that than most. And that's why you love Caleb Williams getting into that position. But what say you? Do you think the Bears should be put in a position where they're getting someone to protect Caleb Williams? Do you think they should be getting someone to help him on the defensive side of the ball? Or maybe you're just calling in to talk about the Bears and where Caleb Williams will be playing in a couple of seasons. Let's go back out to the phones. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Beverly out in Northwest Indiana. Beverly, what are your thoughts about this Bears team moving out to Indiana?
I'm not in favor of it. LaPorte is closer to South Bend than it is to Hammond. I am not in favor of them being in Hammond because I don't want to be taxed higher to have them fulfill the needs of the Gary Hammond area.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Your taxes will be higher if the Bear or some point your taxes will be, or cost of living. We don't even want to say taxes, but cost of living. Things will get more expensive. And Beverly, I would assume that's part of the attraction for Northwest Indiana, right? Is that cost of living is a little cheaper,
that's
right?
What I think. I think it's really a ploy. I think they'll be in Arlington. They should be in Illinois. But I want to talk to you about the Cubs also.
Oh, love it. Here for
it. By the way, who?
Let's go, Beverly. She's a night owl. I like it, Beverly.
Yes.
All right, talk to me.
I was going to say that in the beginning, then I forgot.
I love it. I'm sad that I didn't ask you, Beverly, more so than anything else. All right, what do you got to say about this Cubs team?
Okay. I listened to the games on Friday and Saturday. I know it's just spring training, but I felt the need for an outfielder. Very much so.
Okay.
And so it's Conforto.
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 Mm-hmm. Michael Conforto played for the Dodgers last year, played a bunch of seasons with the New York Mets.
Wasn't he in San Francisco too?
Yep, San Francisco before the Dodgers for a couple seasons.
Yeah. I always feared when we played and he came up to bat, by the way. So maybe he's a good fit for us, and I'm really hopeful for this year. I really am. I just, I'm a Cubs fan. Like I had told you a couple weeks ago, I'm a Cubs fan through and through, and I have gone up to Wrigley Field many times. I haven't for 2 years. I turned 80. 2 years ago, and the 14 of us went up and watched the Cubs to celebrate my birthday.
Did they get a victory for you, Beverly?
Yes, they did. It was before they traded away so many of our players. But I want to thank you for being on the air. You bring a lot. And I thank Mr. Rosen for keeping you on. I'm sincere when I say that.
Well, I genuinely appreciate you, Beverly. And we know you're a fan of the station. And the fact that, I could be here as a vessel for you to be able to chat and talk about your sports, I appreciate that as well. And hopefully we got to get you out to some more Cubs games so they can get some more victories for you as well. All right, it's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 104.3 The Score. Cubs, of course, got another segment, so we're ready to take some phone calls. You can talk about your Cubs if you want to. Of course, Michael Conforto getting signed. John Heyman reporting on that overnight, about 2 in the morning that dropped. So you know it was big news when it dropped at 2 in the morning. But if you have any thoughts on that, willing to take some calls there. Of course, we were just talking Bears, draft position, and Beverly mentioned their move to Indiana, which you're right. All my people in the region, don't let them use you like that. You move to the region so you can have low cost of living. Don't let the Bears go there and raise that up. You guys should be putting up a stink over there and talk. Send some emails to Governor Braun.
You're trying to slide some passive stuff under there.
I don't know what you're saying, Grant. I'm just doing my job over here. And I got a little bit more of it to go. All right, Zach Zaman, David Hall, starting at 5:30. But before that, the pregame show at 5. And before that, your phone calls. 312-644-6767 is Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you overnight, live and local on 104.3 The Score.
Let's get back to more Gabe Ramirez on 104.3 The Score.
And it's Werenski. Now Jack Hughes puts it around the car. United States with numbers. Back across it comes. Jack Hughes wins it. The golden goal for the United States. For the first time since the 1980 miracle, the United States takes the gold.
What does this gold medal mean to USA Hockey?
It's everything. Like I said, the USA Hockey Brotherhood means so much. Look at these guys. We're such a team. We've been together for 2 weeks. We're such a team. The USA Hockey Brotherhood is so strong, and we're so proud to win for our country.
You love moments that bring people together. I'm a huge fan of that. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 104.3 The Score. Taking you all the way to 5 o'clock. That's when Dustin Rhodes takes over. And then today, filling in for Mother, you got Zach Zaidman with David Hall. So it's going to be some great chats going on. Of course, they'll be talking about Michael Conforto, his addition to the Chicago Cubs that happened last night, according to John Heyman. You'll also get more information on what's happening with this Gold Medal Monday. And of course, Jack Hughes scoring the golden goal in overtime to give Team USA the victory over Team Canada. And it gives you a sense of pride, that's for sure. A few things, like I said, bring people together the way sports do. And, you know, when you can get a team like USA in hockey and getting the gold medal and you hear them talking about it, there's a sense of pride that's out there. And it's not masked in any political viewpoint. To me, that's the best part about it. It's just sports, your country, you're rooting for them because they represent you. All of you, and then you get to come together and support them. And that, to me, has been something that's been cool to watch, especially with the Olympics. I went to P.F. Chang's yesterday, and that was my first time there. I'd never been to P.F. Chang's in my whole entire life.
Never been there?
I've never been to P.F. Chang's. Went there. They had this butter cake that was, you know what I'm talking about? You've had it before? Okay, she told me it was like a limited, edition thing.
It's a butter cake, vanilla ice cream on top, and then they put the caramel sauce on top of the everything. It's
so delicious. She lied to me saying that it was only there for a limited time.
Yeah, it's limited time, but like it's still very good.
Well, anyways, it was really good. Went there, and they were playing Olympics in the background, and the TV's in the back there. And my daughters, because I've been, anytime there's women sports going on, I try to watch them, because I, for my job, obviously watch a ton of male sports. So I always try to let my daughters know, like, hey, it's not just Kobe White and Caleb Williams out there. Like, there's people that look like you that perform at an extremely high level. And I've made it a point to emphasize that with the Olympics and Team USA, that these are the most amazing women in the world. And these are the best athletes at their respective sport. And so when they came on, they turned around. They're like, look, Bobby, it's the women playing. I was like, yeah, baby girl, let's go. So, again, it gives you a sense of pride. Right. And I think that we all should be feeling a little bit more American today without political undertones. And you should just be feeling good and proud of your country for getting a gold medal in a sport they hadn't got a gold medal in since 1980. But we're going to be feeling good about that. And you should also be feeling good about your Chicago Bears, because I got a feeling, no insider information, but I got a feeling some good news is coming down this week for your Chicago Bears. But let's go back to the phone lines to talk about your team, who is currently still in Chicago. Let's go to Mike out on the East Coast. Mike, welcome to the show. What you got to say about these Bears?
Hey, man. First time caller, long time listener. But hey, if DJ Moore, I love DJ Moore, but if that brings us Max Crosby, I say do it.
Okay, so DJ Moore and DJ Moore in a first round pick is what you're saying?
Not a first round. I'd love to just give up a third. I think we got hosed when we didn't get the 2 third round picks when we lost our
Ian Cunningham manager, for sure. That was a joke.
Yep, that was so.
Okay, so no DJ Moore, but let me ask you this, because we were talking about it earlier. Bears have their first round pick at 25. Is it as simple, like, is the right answer just best available, or are you leaning towards a particular position?
Well, I mean, I think we definitely need an offensive line or offensive tackle. But even though I think they did an adequate job this year, I mean, but I would love to maybe utilize it for a defensive tackle. But I think we're missing the boat on our defensive backfield. You know, I mean, sure, we had a lot of turnovers, but I think we missed a lot of tackles. And I think we're a step slow. So I would, you know, maybe late rounds we can look at our defensive backfield. But I think, you know, offense wins games, defense wins championships.
Yeah, yeah, and we saw that in the Super Bowl with – obviously the Patriots and the Seahawks, Mike, were two outstanding defenses, and specifically the secondary. You saw the difference there, and it was quite the gap. But Bears are going to have some choices to make. And I think you're right. I think, you know, you got to fix those trenches. You got to look everywhere. You got to upgrade your team, right? And I think DBs is going to be no different. I think they will look to do that. They saw, you know, what happened, and if you know, Nashawn Wright is going to be gone in free agency. They got to, you know, be able to duplicate something there, get some together. I think with the offensive line, Bears were fortunate to be healthy until the tail end of the season. But, you know, they were one of those teams that had the same offensive line playing week in and week out, which is something you rarely hear from the Chicago Bears. But, again, they're going to have to address it. And, again, Combine starting this week, so you know we're going to have all the coverage here, people checking in, giving you all the updates, who are the names you need to be knowing, and who could potentially be the best available when the Bears end up picking 25th in the draft. Damn, 5 hours is a long time.
No, it went by a breeze.
It went super fast. This is the fastest five-hour show I've done since I've been doing the overnights. For those of you that are new here, ideally it is Sunday into Monday and Thursday into Friday. That way I can reboot the system and get enough sleep under my belt so I can handle that. So I'll be on Thursday. Following Monday, not so much, but we could talk about that a little bit later. All right, I want to thank Grant Leader for producing today. Excellent job. Fantastic stuff getting all the clips. I know I put you through the ringer, but you handled it well, my friend. Coming up next, Dustin Rhodes, 5 o'clock, the pregame show, leading you right in to Mullion Hall with Zach Zabin filling in for Mully today. So we're going to have a great show lined up for you guys. All right, next time you will hear me on your airwaves again, Thursday into Friday overnight. So my night owls, make sure you're with me. Mi gente, that means my people. Hasta la próxima. That means until next time. I am Gabe Ramirez, and this is Chicago Sports Radio, 104.3 The Score.